Yeah, the world famous Phil Henry Show from El Pacifico in Southern California. Here then is Mr. Henry.
He's doing that thing.
Well, don't say here then, okay?
It's very professional.
He likes it because he thinks it sounds big time.
Of the many documentaries I've seen.
All right, but yeah, okay. Anyway,
you don't like it.
I mean, it sounds a little too. Sounds a little too highfalutin. Here then is Mr. Henry.
It's good, bud. Just keep.
All right, you know, it's wrecked. Now forget it. It's wrecked, man. So forget it.
More drama here to start the show.
Bud, can you just let it go?
That's fine. Just, you know.
World famous Phil Henry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California. Keep doing it if you want to, bud.
I said I won't do it because it sounds jacked up and wrecked, and you think it's just.
Oh, look at this stuff. Every freaking day, man.
Well. Yeah, what's this?
But it's fantastic. I want you to now have the freedom to do whatever the hell you want to do with the announcement.
Can I do it all by myself and nobody else gets to be in on it?
Go ahead.
Yeah, you can do it, you know, and see if if it works out. And
then you'll hate it. And
just do it, okay? You can do the announcement. Look, we've jacked up the show already with the start of this thing, worrying about your feelings getting hurt over here then is Phil Henry.
Okay, man, if I butchered it up so bad, why don't you do it again?
Sure, why not, man? We're always doing it again. Let's do it again. The start of the show sucked ass. Let's do it again.
Sounds good to me.
I mean, Phil, you know, if the start of the show did suck ass,
I think I agree.
Yeah, I agree.
World famous Phil Henry Show from El Pacifico in Southern California. Here then is Phil Henry.
Thanks very much, bud, and welcome to the show. I didn't say anything, man. Sounds great. Welcome to the world-famous Phil Henry Show here. We're into a Wednesday now, and this week it's the 8th day of July, 2020. I don't know why it feels like, okay, yeah, we're moving through the summer, and we're in the middle of, like, this weird thing.
Well, you know, the more you talk about it being weird, Phil, I mean, well,
I'm looking at you guys behind spit screens, and Margaret with the mask on.
What are you wearing the mask for?
I feel like wearing a mask. You got a problem with that?
No, not at all.
I just deal with it. Some days I do, some days I don't. Some days it's almost a fashion thing. Some days it's a state of mind. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I'm not wearing a mask.
Yeah, I know you're not wearing a mask.
Right. We'll wear masks or not, depending upon the need. But right now, here where we are in California, it's a pretty safe environment. The county of Ventura, which has a low...
Phil, don't start giving away the secrets. I'm going to have a million people moving here.
Anyway, we take precautions.
We've got the necessary social distancing, which we've done anyway, because a lot of times we work in the morning, and the breath on some of these guys, God almighty.
Yeah, are you trying to tell me that's a social distance?
Say that again.
You're saying that you socially distance, yeah, because of our breath?
Some mornings, yes.
Me too?
Well, Phil, you know, what do you think you are all of a sudden... Phil, Sir Galahad, Phil of the sweet breath, you know.
So, Mark.
Yeah?
Margaret's socially distancing because our breath is lousy around here.
What about your breath?
What about it?
Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, some days.
Some days what?
I'm not saying, but some days it comes over.
It does waft across, Margaret. It's a little yikes.
Oh, my ass.
Margaret, look it. Everybody in the morning has got lousy breath. Let's put it that way. So if you think that you are...
God almighty, Phil, you're coming across like Orson Welles or something in Man for All Seasons. You know, you're just big and...
All right, so...
You know, Margaret, one too many of these literate references are just... They're one too many.
I mention Orson Welles in Man for All Seasons, and you guys want to push a small cow out. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, I don't know what that means.
Yeah, I'm not exactly clear on that, but...
I'm not pushing any small cow out. I'm just saying, Margaret, if you're going to start knocking people for their breath, I think that it only stands to reason that one should not be throwing stones living in a glass house.
Meaning I've got rotten breath.
I didn't say that, Margaret, but I mean everybody on a good day, you know?
You didn't think that you walked around here with, like, the breath of...
The breath of who? Who's got good breath?
All right, let's just pretend like we never met on that one, man. Hi, folks.
Well, I'm going to be looking into this one.
I would say, if you want to know who's got good breath, like Patsy Shaw, General Shaw's wife.
Yeah, my wife, that is uncanny about her. Her breath is never bad.
Oh, my ass.
There you go again with that.
Well, you know something? I'm going to go call up Patsy, if you wouldn't mind. Tell her I want to take her to breakfast tomorrow morning. And
what are you going to do, lean in and get a whiff of her breath? Good God.
You know, if she's listening, she'll want none of it.
Just call... Never mind.
So, that That was a lot of time wasted on someone's breath. I'm not...
Phil, it started out with everyone's breath, and then somebody said, you're the one that brought up the fact that you socially distance because everyone's breath is lousy. I had no idea you'd include me in that.
Well, we did, you know.
Well, we... Listen to him. Well, we did.
Yeah, Phil, you did... you kind of went a little feminine there.
Yeah, mid-range feminine.
Uh-huh. What did you just do right there?
Man, you went Mickey Mouse there. You went, like, mid-range feminine. No, I didn't.
Yeah, you did, man. Yes, you did.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did, bud. We just heard it.
You did, son. I don't recall it.
Well, I recall it, and you went mid-range feminine.
Yeah, no, no.
Yeah.
Bud, I'm going to put this... You know that big, big diamond that I have that Frank gave me for our second anniversary?
I guess, yeah.
I'm going to put it on, and I'm going to...
Wait a minute.
Okay, you may be right.
Thank you.
Let's take a break. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Bunch of jive monkey stuff, man.
This is Bud Dickman reminding you that Bar Fight will be coming up, the championship of it, a week from yesterday. So today's the 8th, so it'll be the 14th. So that's, I don't know, whatever that is, 6 days. So join us at philhenryshow.com. And you'll hear the Bar Fight Championship between Margaret Gray and...
I've got it, bud. And between me and Jay Sanders of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Yes, the Citizens...
I'll do it.
And I'll do it. Margaret Gray, Jay Sanders, the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Wait.
Margaret Gray and Jay Sanders for the Bar Fight Championship of 2020. God Almighty.
This portion of the world-famous Phil Henry Show is brought to you by... The 2020 Greco, an automobile like no other. A car that goes from 0 to 60 in one half of 1 second. Your nose will bleed, your eyeballs will recess in your skull 6 inches. You'll get out of the car and you'll have soft tissue where your skull once was. You'll look like an amphibian. You'll have fins instead of feet, but brother, you've been in a great car. The 2020 Greco, now at... Megan Humphrey Motors, where we smile and give you a hot dog and say, hello, friend, come on in and look our car. Yeah, the Greco. Yeah. Yeah, world famous Phil Henry Show for the El Pacifico in Southern California. Now, here's Phil Henry. Hey, Robert, welcome back, folks, to our show here. This is our podcast for today. Everything's running kind of hot, bud.
Oh, come on, Phil.
Well, it is. I don't know what... That's very high. We got a very squirrely audio situation here today. It probably has something to do with this preamp that we've got.
They put in a new preamp, as I told you, okay?
But we...
Now, hold on. They put a new preamp, right, Senator?
Yeah.
And I told you, you had to adjust it over there on a duet. Now then, if you...
I get it, bud. Okay, thanks very much, man.
But, you know, you're always talking about the level.
What about over here, right there? What about this knob here? Don't touch anything. Welcome back, folks, to the show, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Well, we had the... Bar Fight. But first, I don't want to come off sounding flip or joyous. That's not what I mean by this. You know, we lost George Rodriguez.
Oh, my God, yes.
We lost our good friend George Rodriguez this past weekend. George was the, I would say he was our executive producer at WIOD. He was also Neil Rogers' producer at WIOD. I was just on Norm Kent's show yesterday, and I've talked to a lot of folks about the passing of George Rodriguez. George was 55. When I met him, he was a kid in his late 20s, and I was myself in my early 40s.
Well, you're really going to go to memory lane here in terms of age, huh?
Well, I'm trying to, you know, just give everybody the picture of what was happening at WID when I first got there, and there was George, and from the moment we met him, he was such a friendly guy and a warm guy, and he was like the antithesis in a lot of ways of Neil, who was a gruff dude, and man, you really had to prove yourself at that radio station to make him happy. And there was a great period of 2 years at WIOD where it was the greatest place in the world to work, as far as I was concerned. But the reason why I'm bringing that up is because while I was there,
you and Andy Kalb drove around in that armored car.
Yeah, we had an armored car. We had the greatest promotional vehicle in history at WIOD. We had an armored car that had been painted with the WIOD logo, which was basically kind of golden blue, and there were some palm trees, and it looked very Miami. And on Friday nights, we would get in this thing and just drive around. I did the last hour of my show doing this remote from the armored car. We'd stop, we'd talk to people, whatever was happening, we'd try to find our way there. And during the spring of 1996, 24 years ago, the Florida Panthers.
Oh, this was Neil Rogers' favorite team.
Yeah, they were there with the hockey team.
I mean, they got to the Stanley Cup Finals that year.
Yes, they did. The Panthers got to the Stanley Cup Finals that year. Doug McLean was the coach. John Van Beesbrook was the goalie. Boy, you remember some of the players, huh? Just a one or two. But the thing that I recall about the Panthers that year is that somebody killed a rat in the locker room somewhere. It might have been Detroit.
Well, you're saying Detroit because, what, that's the rat-infested city?
No, Margaret, I'm not.
Jesus, Margaret. Well, then why'd you mention that?
We get all defensive about Detroit.
I'm not getting defensive about, was it in Florida?
I think it was in Florida. I think it was in Miami.
Phil, you just went, it was in Miami. You just sounded Cuban there.
You did, Phil.
So it was in my, that was, God, how racist is that?
Yeah, no kidding.
That's not racist. That's a little bit of satirical,
satiricon.
Yes, satiricon. Phil gives the real bug eye at the camera, like you and I, we know what's going on. Margaret, she's mentally deficient. You know, she's getting the hot flashes, which I've already had, by the way. And it's time to put her in a soft room. Well, no, it's not.
I'm not trying to put you. So to get to the point.
Yeah. So this is about the Florida Panthers.
Yeah, so what happened?
The Florida Panthers, one of the players killed a rat.
One of the players, Margaret, would you let him tell it?
Fine. One of the players killed a rat in the locker room, and that began a tradition at the Florida Panther games of throwing rubber rats on the ice every time the Panthers scored a goal in that wonderfully fun season of 1995-96. So making a long story short, I was down there in Miami during that time, and we went down to Miami Arena one night, and I did an hour remote from the armored car, and people were on their way into a game. I don't know if it was a playoff game. I think it might have been a playoff game.
Well, it was the start of the playoff run.
I think it was, yeah. And boy, the minute I said, and by the way, we have rubber rats we're giving away, holy God, you've never seen such a crowd.
And they all, not to see you, but to get the rats.
That's right, Margaret, just to kind of dig that, not to see me, but to get the rats.
Well, Phil, sometimes it's necessary.
Yeah, sometimes you've got to tamp your ego down a little bit, Mr. Henry.
Sure, that's what I need. Ask any artist anywhere, any performer anywhere. You know what you need? You need to have your ego stuffed down a little bit. Oh, man.
Jesus.
All right, I'm sorry.
So, it's fine, I'm fine. So we did. We gave away a whole bunch of these rubber rats, and a guy that was there during that time was living in Miami. Margaret, you were in Bal Harbour at the time.
Yes, I was, but I wasn't a hockey fan.
But one of the guys that was there and saw the whole thing transpire, and I think really enjoyed himself too, was Harvey Wireman. And Harvey's joining us now from his home in San Marino. And Harvey, you know, it was quite a time. I had met you prior to that, hadn't I?
Yeah, you know, we ran into each other in Miami prior to the Panthers getting to the Stanley Cup. Yeah. Hold on, I just need some. Honey, get me some of that plum juice. Yeah, no, plum, P-L-U-M. I feel I've got, as you know, and I apologize to your listeners, I have a...
You got allergies, man.
I got allergies big time, and this time of year... Arubu.
Well, what is that, Arubu? What is that?
I'm clearing my throat if it's okay with you.
Of course it is, Harvey. I just don't know what that... I didn't know what that meant, Chief.
Okay, how are you doing, General?
I'm very good.
Thank you. I just got some plum juice from my daughter. Yeah. All right. So that was a glorious time, Phil. And at the time, I was living in Golden Beach or something. And I was back and forth between L.A. But I met Phil Henry. He was down in Miami. And he was a big deal. And he was making noise with his goofy show. And but you went down to that arena. Now, the reason why Phil's got me on is because I was there that night. And I said to a group of people, I said, there are rubber rats over there at Henry's remote truck. And they go, who? I said, the guy Phil Henry at WID. And they all took off running. And I took a bag of rubber rats inside the arena, and I sat with Neil and those guys. And
so you had a big bag of rubber rats that you had for yourself.
That's right. And it was the craziest thing, too, is there were people that were kind of approaching me. I was having a milkshake sitting at one of the outside tables at the Miami Arena, and I was about ready to go inside, but I saw people moving toward me kind of tentatively. They were looking at me, they were licking their lips, looking nervous, holding their knees together, and, you know
what? What does that mean? What do you mean, holding their knees together?
I mean, these people look nervous, okay?
Well, they look nervous, why?
Because they didn't quite know how to ask me, can we have one of your rubber rats? And I wasn't about to give it because I was taking it into the arena that night. Me and Neil and a couple of the other guys were there, and we were going to take them, we were going to throw them, you know, on the ice. If we
How many did you have?
I probably had a couple of hundred.
In a bag.
Yeah, in a bag. And they knew, and they were kind of moving toward me, and I said, well, you know what? You guys want rubber rats right over there, Henry.
No wonder we got mobbed.
You got that right.
All right, so now I understand. I thought it was, well, we'd been on the air talking about it.
Well, that's why I heard about it. I said, Henry's got rubber rats. I mean, at the time that you made the announcement on the air, I think I still said there were people collecting around. There was some flotsam and jetsam and some of the area weirdos were collecting. Didn't you have some line dancers there or something?
Yeah, you told me that, Mr. You had, like, country western dancers? You're kidding.
No, what we did is I thought it would be funny to have country western dancers at a hockey... I don't know. I have no idea.
Yeah, what's that supposed to mean?
Say, like, hockey fans are redneck?
Maybe. But in any event, we had these chicks that were, line dancing. They were looking as befuddled as I was. Nonetheless, let the show must go on. And they were doing their line dancing, and all of a sudden, here comes all these people. And now I find out they were sent over by Harvey.
Well, I probably sent about 100 people over because they were moving toward me. And, just, yay. I can't describe what it felt like, but it wasn't a good feeling. And
what are you talking about? They were moving towards you. How?
Like they wanted to, like one of the, what's the show you were telling me about? The Dead?
The Walking Dead.
Yeah, like they wanted to have me for dinner or something. So.
Well, these are people. They were hockey fans.
Yes, they're hockey fans. But I said, if you guys want rubber rats, Henry's got more than he can deal with over there.
Thanks a lot for that, man.
Well, didn't it get people over there?
It did, but, we did get kind of inundated and kind of rendered the... But you know what? I don't care, man. It was a lot of fun. So you took those rats in there.
Yeah, I took them in, and we gave them away to a lot of people. Because Neil said to me, well, how many... I said, I got 200. He said, you think the Panthers are going to score 200 goals? And I thought about it, and I said, you know what? Good point. And he did that Neil laugh and then lit another cigar. And I said, well... So I started giving them away to kids and to the... Damn. Give me some more plum juice and cut it with some tangerine juice. And
all right, Harvey, we've got to get going here.
All right, sorry. So I gave away a lot of them at the arena that night.
Now, the Panthers that season, Harvey, went to the Stanley Cup Finals, right?
They went to the Stanley Cup Finals against Mark Crawford's Colorado Avalanche, a very, Joe Sakic, and they had Claude Lemieux. The notorious Claude Lemieux.
Oh, yeah. We showed, or at least I've been talking about, the big feud they had.
Well, they had the feud with the Red Wings, not with the Panthers. The Panthers, he was like small potatoes.
All right, but I mean, they were already kind of mixing it up with some of those other teams.
Yeah, the Colorado Avalanche had been the Quebec. Yeah, the Quebec Nordiques, and then they moved to... But that was a great team. But the Panthers gave them all they had. And I think the thing that was great about that was it really established hockey in South Florida. Now, the last I heard...
I heard that the Panthers are not doing too good.
Well, no, it isn't. What I heard was that the owner of the team, and do you know anything about this fella? He's thinking that he may have to pack him up and move someplace else.
I heard, no, but I ain't heard anything serious. I can't believe that. You know?
What?
I can't believe they'd move that team from South Florida. I just don't. And we'll probably have our heads up our asses about this.
Well, now there you go. That's probably the case.
Yeah, but I mean, didn't you say about it?
Didn't I say about what?
Did you hear something that they're moving?
No, man. What I said to the guys was I read something in the sports. So I read something. I was in Miami at the time that the guy that owned the team wasn't getting the kind of business he wanted to get.
Well, are people not going to watch the team?
I think they've got people to watch the team. I just, and they've got a great core of fans. I don't know, man. So just forget that I even said anything.
Well, that would be I almost took the Lord's name in vain. And
well, what's stopping you?
You know, Martin, what's stopping me is that I don't want to be overtly offensive.
Well, every time you're clearing your throat with geez, are you taking any medicine for that?
Medicine for what?
For your allergies.
Oh, yeah, no, it's... I got my daughter. Give me the playlist. Cut it with... hold on. I'm sorry, guys. I need it cut with the tangerine juice. Give me a full glass of plum juice. Full, right to the brim, all right? Then pour a little bit out. Cut it with tangerine juice. Put some of that cayenne...
We really got to get going here, Harvey.
All right, sorry. Cayenne pepper. But those were glorious days, Phil, and when you brought up the late George Rodriguez, we do dearly miss George.
Yes, we do. And I didn't want it to seem like I was trying to be glib or anything. I talked to his daughter, Sabrina, She's a very sweet, and it's just a sweet and wonderful family. And I'm, it really knocked hell out of me when I heard that. And I just started thinking about Miami, and I started thinking about Florida. I thought about all the fun that we had. And
well, you guys had a lot of fun. I don't know about me. I was at that time. I was going between L.A. and I finally came back out here. But I had those rubber rats, and all of a sudden, everybody wants a piece of me, and I said, well, that ain't going to happen. So I took him into the arena, and I think I just tossed him into a garbage can, and people went rooting around for them.
You took those rats that people would have wanted to have had?
All right, Phil. No, I didn't put them in a garbage can. I don't know what I did with them.
Well, you said you took them home, didn't you?
Yeah, I took them home, but I just want to say, because when I said I took them home, I get Dickman looking at me like, hee-hee-hee.
I didn't say nothing, man. It's just,
Thanks a lot, Harvey, for being with us, man.
And, tell everybody in South Florida listening, hello, and it's great days.
Great days, man. Harvey Wireman on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. So, yeah, if I didn't properly let everybody know that we really got taken, we were blindsided by the news because George, to me, was always such a young guy.
Yeah, that's a funny thing. You said something about a guy's young like that, and here you are still walking around,
What is that supposed to mean?
God almighty, General. No, it's nothing. You say, well, there's George is gone. A great man, a great father, a wonderful guy, friendly guy. Everybody loved George.
And here I am.
Well,
yeah. All right.
I'm fooling around, man.
What a time to fool around, man.
I'm screwing around. Give it.
God, Mr. Hendry, give it to the count of five and then go, yeah.
What does that mean?
He's saying, just count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You realize you got nothing to worry about.
Yeah, it's just a joke.
So, George is gone, and here you are.
1, 2...
Yo, don't laugh! All right. I'll say it again. George is gone, and here you are.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah.
Did it help? I guess it did.
Yeah. I guess it did. All right, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Coming up next is a wonderful and marvelous, and who the hell's coming up next?
Jay Santos.
Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, the winner of the bar fight semifinal last night. And we're going to talk to him very, very shortly. His voice was cracking, too. Is his voice okay?
Yeah, I told him to hydrate, and Mr. Santos, I hydrated.
Oh, good. He hydrated, huh?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
I mean...
You don't even know?
I know that's what you're supposed to do.
He's had water, bud.
Oh, okay, yeah.
General Galen Shaw for the backstage pass. Now, more than ever before, you simply must have the backstage pass. We've got 40,000-plus hours of great vintage, classic, fantastic, mind-bending, mind-blowing radio created by the master himself, Phil Hendry. Why, he created me. I have no life apart from Phil. Thanks a lot, Phil.
You're welcome.
But anyway, along with that, we have wonderful things like our Friday night chats. Phil's got his home movies. You can look at the family of Phil Hendry when he was a little tiny kid, or some of the girlfriends he's had ever since. Well, I... anyway, take a look at the home movies.
They're clean.
Right. And you can go to the Phil Hendry Show website to check in on our Friday night chat and make friends with the Phil Hendry fan community. Yes, the Phil Hendry Show website. It's all that and more at philhendryshow.com.
Become a backstage pass, Member.
This is Jay Santa, Citizens Auxiliary Police. Check in on Phil Hendry Show.
And Jay Santos joining us from the South Bay here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, the Citizens Auxiliary Police. A victorious, victorious semifinal for you, Jay, and a congratulations to you. It was... hard fought. I interviewed you after the fight, as we announced it on Facebook Live, and you were definitely pretty winded.
There's no question about it, Phil. I felt like I felt like I've been through. I have to say, I felt like I've been through living hell and hell on earth and everything.
Jay, people are asking, because Mavis, as we have said, is kind of a natural and was very good at. In these bar fights preceding, but she seemed to only have the one punch, right?
Well, she is a tough gal. She got a real quick right hand. She tagged me a couple times with the right hand, and she's also quick. At one point, what winded me more than anything else is I tried to run away from her, and I couldn't get away.
You tried to run away?
Yeah, I did. And before you started making Okay.
See, that's what I'm talking about, Jay. There's an instinct that you have.
Yeah, it's instinct. You just run away.
Are you chicken, basically?
No, I'm not chicken, basically. No, I'm not chicken, basically. I said, and I'll say, I got the same problem you had, General, a couple of summers ago when you didn't have enough water and you dehydrate.
No, I had that problem. You're right. You've got to get water.
And I was very, after the fight, I had to have fluids. I don't know if you know that, Mr. Henry. Mr. Henry, did you know that?
Do you have to add fluids?
That's right. I had to get an IV.
Where was this?
It was at my doctor's office. I was not hospitalized, but I went in, and I saw Dr. Peabody, and...
Now, was his nurse Sherman there, or was that...
You know what?
Hey, General, why don't you back it off a little bit, okay? I'm trying to get some information here. Yes, sir. God damn, man.
God, Mr. Henry.
Well, don't give me this guy, Mr. Henry. I'm trying to talk to the guy. Great. I'm trying to have a couple of laughs. Have all the laughs you want. Let me talk to the guy.
Yeah, have all the laughs you want, General. Take a look in the mirror, okay? Get all the laughs you want. Look in the mirror.
Yeah, it's great. It's
pretty funny.
See, Mr. Henry, I know when I come on your program, the deck is stacked against me. Nothing I say, no matter how funny I am, no one's going to go, that's funny, because I'm Jay Santos, Citizens Auxiliary Police.
Well, we don't want to laugh with Jay Santos. We want to laugh at you.
That's fine. Hold up a minute. 2553.
This is Jay making fake radio noises.
No, I am not. I told you. This is real. Hey, what's up, bud?
Hey, I got another guy.
Hold on. Subcommander Gleason, hold on. Trumpin, Pinkburn, what's going on?
I got another guy outside. Swears people are not picking up the cat dump on the beach.
Cat dump on the beach.
I mean dog dump on the beach. You're supposed to take.
I'll do it. Phil, can I just do a public service?
Yeah, go ahead. What are you doing, Santos? You're using our show.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Jay Santos. Please take out a glove or a plastic bag to the beach when your dog goes. There's cats out there. What are cats doing out there?
There's cats. There's people are walking their cats.
They're doing what?
I swear to God.
What is he saying?
Hey, General, none of your business. If you walk your cat...
What do you mean if they walk their cat?
People walking their cat, they're leaving.
If you walk your cat, clean the cat dump up is all we're trying to ask. I'm Jay Santos. Okay, Phil.
Oh, boy, man.
Well, you know something? I'm sorry, Mr. Henry, but I try to save lives as much as you... try to have a show and everything.
All right, let's get back to this whole... here we go.
Rot's insane, and a better bun.
There's cat shit up and down the beach, and I thought I'd let you know.
Thank you, Subcommander Gleason. Roger, we got cat shit on the beach. I don't forget it. Don't give me that chicken shit. Sorry, Phil.
Yeah, and watch the language, okay?
These are police matters. We're trying to do it the best way we can.
So you got to announce, there's no cat shit on the beach.
There is cat shit on the beach. Hey, Subcommander Gleason, I'm on a Phil Henry show.
Oh, sorry, I forgot all about it.
So, it was a tough fight. It was a horrifying fight, but...
So, Margaret's here. You're going to be going up against Margaret. You guys want to... Jay, let me ask you something. I know that you have experience with the one-step takedown and all of these things. And certainly I'm aware of the fact that you are experienced putting your hands on people and...
21. 21. 35.
Are you going to do that throughout this entire conversation?
I'm sorry, hold on. Cat dump. Yeah, let's CD for the cat dump. Go ahead, Mark.
I said, I know you've got experience with the end, but let's talk about how you won that fight against Mavis. It really wasn't any physical move. You faked her out with the flare drop.
That is correct, Margaret. What I did is I got up, she'd had me in a headlock, and was peppering me with that right hand, and I got an eye today. My left eye is larger than my right eye. And
so you're talking, you have a black eye?
No, not only is my eye swollen, but the actual eyeball is about, the eyeball is about the size of a golf ball, and my other eye is just a regular size.
What are you talking about now, man?
I'm telling you, she peppered my right eye with all kinds of, you know, quick right hands.
So she beat your eye, all right, go ahead.
So. When I got up from that, I got the one large eyeball and the smaller eye, and I go, it's flare drop time, and I put on my orange vest, because I had an orange vest, and that's what done it.
So you did, she did believe that she was, well, she said that she was disoriented.
Yeah, she was disoriented. I said, flare drop, she was looking around like, what? And that's when I picked her up, and I did a one-boot body slam.
Now, what's a one-boot body slam?
When you put the leg out, you just like, bang, it's like an atomic drop.
Holy Jesus, that's an elderly woman.
Well, you know what? If you don't want to pay, maybe they'll not play. It's the way I said.
You know, Jay, I've never met a man before who could strangle to death just talking. But you're the guy. You're the guy. This is your moment.
I'm Jay Sanders, and I came on a show tonight to have people laugh at me. Because why? Because I'm successful. And I won in bar fight semifinal.
Jay, you are successful, and we're not laughing at you for that reason.
I'm not laughing at you for that reason, Jay, either. It's the general... It was funny the way he said that.
Oh, no, it's not the first time he said it. It's not even a new line.
What?
You know, when you talk, you strangle with that. You said that a billion times. Billions and billions.
Okay, Carl Sagan, whatever you say, but...
What's that mean, Carl Sagan?
He's the guy that said there's billions and billions, you know?
All right, so anyway, thank you, everybody. Jay, we wish you all the best. And, Margaret?
Jay, I do wish you the best. I will tell you that I'm going to take this very seriously.
Well, you better, because I'm going to be coming with the wood. I'm bringing lumber.
You're bringing lumber, is that right? Jay, you idiot. That's a sexual reference.
What is he talking about?
Never mind, Jay. Way to do it, brother. We'll see you next week. It'll be live streamed. It'll be, you know, it'll be a big thing, man. So,
You're going to make me nervous or nothing like that.
You're not nervous over the fact it'll be a live stream.
No, I'm not. The more the merrier. I'm Jay Sanders.
Jay Sanders, Citizens Auxiliary Police, and the winner of the bar fight semifinal. Next week, Jay Sanders versus Margaret Gray in the bar fight chanter.
Who the hell is that?
Who's that guy?
That guy is an announcer we're trying out. He's not no good.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah, is that our announcer, or is that what you're... Are you just glad to see me? Yeah? You know, Mr. Henry?
Hey, Jay, why don't you get some... Why don't you hydrate, okay?
Okay, whatever you say.
And we segue from Jay Sanders of the Citizens Auxiliary Police to Mavis Leonard in Bellflower, California. And Mavis, you just heard Jay talking about this moment where you apparently were, I guess you were disoriented, huh?
You know, Phil, I'm going to tell you, is that asshole, goddamn, turn that motherfucking shit down, will you? Thought I heard,
No, that's your television.
All right, Rob, turn that down, will you? Phil, I heard in the middle of the fight, and he's right. I had been using that right hand I've got, and I had, been attacking that right eye of his and really nailing him with that right hand. I should say I was attacking the left eye, he was nailing him with a right hand. And his eyeball was about the size of a golf ball. And if he had both eyes the same size, I swear to God, you would have thought he was a man that originated on another planet.
What do you say? Because he just looked unusual.
He would look more than unusual. He would have had two gigantic eyes. That would have been reminiscent, I think, probably most recently of any science fiction you've seen, a jar of a large reptile like the human Gila monster, something like that. He looked bad, is the point I'm trying to make.
All right, well, in the middle of that, he had one eyeball that was larger than the other.
Yeah, he had one, and he said, whoa, look at that, time for flare drop, and he had on an orange vest. And I thought, does that mean there's a break in the action or an end of a round, something like that.
All right, so in other words, you weren't really familiar with the rules.
I guess you could say that I was not, Phil, because I didn't have a corner person. I just showed up to this idiotic thing, and I went to work on the eyeball. I figured if I kept peppering that left eye, it would be gigantic, and people would run from him in the streets and possibly... it sounds ridiculous, but you see a man walking down the street with two gigantic eyes, you'll call the army, you'll get people with artillery. I don't know.
All right, so Mavis, you heard him say flare drop.
I heard him say flare drop, and I immediately stepped back. I said, say what? And I felt him pick me up, and boom, right on my tailbone, and I just, just landed about a million pounds of pressure, it felt like. And I just rolled. When he hit the floor, I just rolled over on my left side and dropped.
So that really knocked the wind out of you.
It hit everything I had in me and out of me. And I know he was angry because I looked at him and I said, look at that. There goes the human gear monster with a big eyeball. And I saw him say, now you've really done it. And he puts the orange vest on. I thought, okay, so what's he... Got to go to the doctor, so I didn't know what...
It was the orange vest, huh?
Yeah, the orange vest was what confused you?
Yeah, I had no idea.
And Johnny, you said that you were not familiar with the rules.
I guess I was not familiar with the rules up to that point, though, you know.
You know, that's no excuse. Not familiar with the rules, no excuse.
Robert, I know that. You don't... Why don't you just do yourself a favor and shut up? Because I know all of that.
Let's not tell people to shut up.
I know all of that. What's he talking about?
You know the rules, then.
Yes, I know the rule. But I, for some reason, when he said I got to do a flare drop, I thought it was the end of a round. I guess I didn't know the rules that well. But I don't need you out there in Radio Land, Robert, showing me up to look like some chump change to the curb chump.
But...
Never mind.
All right, Mavis Leonard with us. So, Mavis, I was told after the fight was over you had a pinochle...
No, not pinochle. I don't play pinochle. Bridge. I had a bridge tournament, and I had a hot apple turnover, and I had a blueberry pie in the oven, so I cut out.
Well, how did you feel about losing the fight?
I felt I wanted to get away from it. I wanted to get as far away from that clown as I could because he had... the big eyeball, and he was, I figured, you know what, have fun. If it's worth it to you and all you people, have fun.
Well, I want to tell you, I was very happy that you participated. You were a real sport, and you were the odds-on favorite.
I understand. A lot of people had money on it. Let me explain something. You know, there's no such thing as a free lunch, and there's no such thing as a sure thing, and there's no such thing as Santa Claus, and there's no such...
Yeah.
I'm trying to make a point here. I can't remember what.
I think what you're saying is you can have favorites in sports as in other walks of life. Nothing guarantees they win.
Nothing. There you go. Yeah, that's it. Nothing guarantees that. I guess that's what I'm saying. I don't know what I'm...
Well, Mavis, look, again, we are very thankful that you participated.
And you're no worse the wear because he did really, you know, drop you on your tailbone there.
I'm fine. What happened to me is I felt all the air just go out of me. And I fell on my left side, and I said, you know what, bridge it in 30 minutes. I was ready to just...
Ready to pack it in.
I was ready to pack it in, yeah.
Well, Mavis, thanks for participating, and how did your bridge tournament go?
It went fine. In fact, some of the girls are still here, so I was just talking about you, and what are you... Look at you, you're putting sandwiches in your purse. Wow. I was just talking about them, and she's sticking sandwiches. So,
all right, well, you know, you've got friends over there. I'm sure you want to... go say hello to them.
Yeah, I want to do more. Look at that. Did you take the punch too? All right, Phil, I got to go, and I appreciate everything you've done for me.
Thanks so much, Mavis.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Mavis. Thank you, dear.
Yeah, everybody, thank you. And I got to go. So thank you very much.
All right, Mavis Leonard, thank you. And there she is.
Yeah, so
I don't know what I got out of that other than the fact that I don't think a 76-year-old woman...
Now, Phil, don't start giving her excuses.
I'm just telling you, I don't think a 76-year-old woman is should be in a bar fight ring, that's all.
Hey, I agree with you. You know, she had enough ego to think she could be.
And she apparently was doing enough damage. What was all of that stuff?
She said, I wrote a lot of it down. She said, he had an eyeball the size of a golf ball, and if she made the other one look that way, he would look like a man from the human Gia monster.
Okay. That having been said, Jay Santos, is his eye okay?
I'm going to have to check in on him. Try to put some ice on it so the eyeball comes down to normal size.
Well, I hope it's normal size next week.
Well, hold on for a minute. You're telling me that his eyeball is still the size of a golf ball. One of them?
Yeah, just the left eye.
And I got to go into a bar fight against that?
I don't know. I don't think so. I think it's just, the swelling.
How does your eyeball swell up to the size of a golf ball? I mean, yeah, it is interesting. What's the matter? I gotta go to a bar fight looking at some freak, okay?
Well, Margaret, I mean, if the guy...
I'm gonna go into a bar fight looking at some guy that he looks like a mad scientist that's injecting himself with reptile cells, so he comes out looking like Salamander Man. No.
Well, Margaret, whatever it is, it is.
Make sure he's had a full physical. I don't want to kill anybody. You understand? I don't want to kill anybody. If that guy goes in there with one big eyeball... Chances are he'll walk out of there with one big eyeball, dead. And you know how dead men have their eyes open?
Yeah. One of them would be... One big eye will be staring.
You got that right.
Mr. Henry's laughing.
Yeah, I know, Mr. All right, well...
Yeah, Mr. Henry's laughing, and now he stopped laughing. World-famous Phil Henry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California. Executive produced by Phil Henry for Siempre Incorporated. All rights reserved on Podcast One. Thanks a lot, guys. See you tomorrow for our, you know, for our Thursday show, Friday night. Our chat is on, man. I think we're going to interview Bryn up in San Francisco. Not sure yet. And Jackie's here on Monday, and our bar fight is Tuesday, the 14th, on our website, philandryshow.com, a live stream of that.